Welcome to the Live Awakened podcast, life coaching for women physicians of color. Create more freedom to simply be who you want to be. Do the things that make you feel alive and create a deeper connection with those you love. It's time to choose you. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Guile.
Hello, ladies. Hope you're having a lovely day. Today's going to be a really fun and light episode. We have a special guest, Dr. Devin Gimbel. She's a good friend of mine. She's coached me multiple times, so she knows all my crazy. And you guys hear all my crazy all the time. So that's lovely because we all have a little bit of crazy. So today we're going to talk a little bit about travel, credit cards, money, points, all the things that I have very little idea of, and maybe I'm getting a little bit more aware. I do have to say, I do enjoy my Amex Platinum card. And every time I go to the airport, now my kids are super spoiled because they ask, "Mommy, are we going to go to the lounge? Can we get snacks? Can we get food?" And I'm not going to lie, like, I just feel like this is a new version of me. But before I let Devin introduce herself, I just want to tell you why I wanted her on my podcast today. So she recently started a podcast, and I'll let her explain that, about like using points for travel and experiences. And I think within the first couple minutes, I'm listening and she mentions how she was in first class and she noticed what that space looked like for her and the gender of everyone sitting there, a lot of men. And she noticed, she's like, "I want to see more women, but also women of color." For me, I literally paused there. I messaged her. I'm like, "Devin, like, you have to be my podcast." And I'll tell you why. It's because I took my first class flight after I turned 40. It was like 9 months ago, going from LA to Florida. And I was giddy, but uncomfortable. I thought so much about it even before booking it. And all of this, you know, I actually use points for this, which I'm really excited, but that's not even it. The fact that it took me this long, as someone who's a physician, we spend money on a lot of other things. And I'm going to do a fun episode about what brown people are allowed to spend money on later. And that's going to be really fun. I have a little TikTok going on for that too. But this is not it. Like, there's a lot of giving myself permission. So this is kind of a gist of why I wanted Devin on this podcast, to talk about, you know, giving yourself permission to live in a way that's comfortable and luxurious without needing permission. So Devin, could you please introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on today. I have been looking forward to this conversation ever since you sent me a message telling me that you wanted to talk about this on your podcast. I think these are such fun and important conversations. So yeah, I'll quickly introduce myself. As you mentioned, my name is Devin Gimbel. I'm a double board certified physician in anatomic pathology and dermatopathology. And I live in the suburbs of Chicago, and I actually don't practice medicine anymore. I transitioned out of medicine a few years ago, and now I'm doing something completely different that is not at all, I think, the traditional career trajectory for someone who did all the things that all of us did, right? Med school, undergrad, med school, residency, fellowship, all the stuff. And now what I do is I run a business called Point Me to First Class, where I teach other women physicians, other sort of high income professionals, entrepreneurs, business owners, how to leverage their expenses to earn tons of credit card points so that they can then use those credit card points to travel the world, whether that looks like economy class, business class, like you mentioned, checking out lounges in different airports, hotel stays. There is an entire world of travel that is available to us using credit card points that so many people, like physicians, are in an amazing position to take opportunity and advantage of, and yet they have no idea how to do it. And so I try to be the bridge of that gap so that I can help, like you said, especially more women, women of color, people who do not traditionally occupy these spaces in luxury travel, see how accessible this is for them so that they can change the way they experience the world, their families experience the world, and just benefit from that incredible experience that is getting out of that place that is usual for you and being able to interact with a lot of different type of people in a lot of different types of places.
Thanks, Devin. So for someone that doesn't know anything about this world. I feel like this would be really helpful because getting into the why we haven't done it, like that's like my like breath, right? Like everything I do and believe in is like, I want to understand why my people don't do it. And it's so simple. It's, we're not used to it, right? A lot of us, you know, came from families where it was more survival mode, you know, like first and second generation immigrants. I think I mentioned to you guys before that I'm the first one to graduate from college in my family. Yeah. And so becoming a doctor was like, I was like a god, basically. And if I didn't get to that space, I would have been a failure, which is a common theme, right? And but once we get here, we still live in that mindset that our parents lived in, which was just be grateful, save every penny. I remember like being really excited when I used to watch Extreme Couponing. I was like pregnant or like breastfeeding or something, right? And I literally would obsess over that stuff. And I was so proud of myself for that. It just felt like I was making more money, but I was also working evenings, weekends, and holidays, but I wasn't benefiting from it. And so giving myself permission, I think this is where coaching comes in really handy, is like awareness plus adding that component of like, sometimes we just need an outside person to help, you know, explore with us. I think sometimes like talking about it, like it's like we're sitting on a couch together and looking at our thoughts like that are, you know, on the other side. So yeah, like what are your thoughts about that? Like why people don't?
Yeah, I think it comes down to kind of two main categories of things. I think, as you mentioned, one, a really crucial one is awareness, right? We don't know what we don't know. And I think this whole world of understanding just first how it works, that you can actually put expenses that you're things you're going to buy anyway, right? I'm not talking about buying things you don't need, but the things that you're going to pay for anyway, strategically putting those expenses on credit cards that instead of earning you nothing or earning you cash back, actually earn you rewards in the form of points or miles. And then those points and miles being their own form of currency. You can literally go and purchase travel with those points and miles and therefore save a lot of cash, you know, instead of booking a first-class flight to Florida using cash, you can use your points. There are so many different examples of how to do this. And I think one of the big barriers is so many people just not understanding that this is even an option that exists, right? It's very hard to take advantage of something if you were never aware that that was even available to you to begin with. And so that to me is sort of like this initial big barrier that there, like I said, so many people who I think are in a fantastic position to benefit from the fact that, especially if you're based in the US, you have access to the US issued rewards credit cards. We've got so many amazing opportunities. So number one, if you're not even aware that this is a thing that exists, that it is available to you, then of course it's going to be very challenging to take advantage of it. But then what I see is sort of a second kind of layer, a second barrier is that once people begin to understand, oh, wait a minute, there's this very simple process, right? I can put my expenses on a credit card, be very responsible with that credit card, pay off that bill, you know, monthly in full, earn a bunch of points and miles, which, oh, I can then use as a form of payment to get great things. Once they understand just sort of that very basic concept, I think then what happens is all that second type of barrier comes up. And this is what I think you and I have a lot of opportunity to get into, which is the barrier of our ideas, right? It's one thing to just understand the fundamental building blocks of how something works, but then there are all the ideas that we have about ourselves, about the world, about what's available to us. And those ideas become a huge barrier. And I think one of the ones that you already mentioned, right, was about this idea of like giving permission. Like, who am I to take advantage of this thing, which is completely available to me? But like, what does it mean for me to be a person who's actually now going to go and do this thing, right? And that is the piece that I think doesn't get talked about enough, because I think you obviously know the power of your thoughts and ideas, right? I mean, sort of the premise of a lot of the work that we do in coaching is we have so much power and so much agency. And when we have a lot of just ingrained ideas or implicit ideas that we're not even aware we're carrying around, those can hold us back from doing so many different things. And so I think those are kind of the two main ways that people don't jump into this entire world, this amazing world of credit card and points travel, is either they just aren't aware that it exists, but even when they are aware that it exists, they're carrying around so many ideas about what it means for them or what is actually available to them and allowing themselves to really enjoy that.
I think the key word there is enjoy that.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's a certain idea we have in our head of things that we should be accept or be okay with enjoying. And then there's things that we feel a lot of discomfort around. One, because we've never been exposed to it. And so it's new. And when things are new, there's a lot of uncertainty. It gets scary. And so what we end up doing is avoiding, obviously. And I think that that's what I have done. And so we were talking before we got on, started recording, was I was laughing with her because when I started my business, I got the Amex Platinum card. And to me, like, that was like step one. And I didn't really understand it. And then we had to pay this annual fee. And the reality was, like, I had to get over my own ideas of how can I get things for free or zero, and you get what you pay for, right? And the way that I value like having this card is, what are all the things that I can do as a person, as a family, as a woman that I couldn't do without having this annual fee? And then later I was like, oh, I can write this off. Like, I didn't understand anything. So let's say like someone doesn't know anything, Devin, like, you know, they're want to start this journey. What are the things that you would recommend or like kind of guide them with?
Yeah. So that's a great question. One of the things that I always tell people before they even get to that step of thinking about what is the first kind of best credit card for me that earns points, like before we can even get there, I always like to make very, very clear who this is for and who it's not for, because it's not for everybody. And I think that if you can be very clear about knowing, oh, whether or not this hobby or this idea of specifically, you know, going out strategically getting credit cards that earn you points that you can use those points for travel, if you can't figure out, is this a good fit for me or not? That's where sometimes people get into trouble, right? And so before we even start talking about any specifics, what I always tell people is, number one, this hobby is not for you if you are not yet in a position or you do not yet have the habit of paying off your credit card statements in full every single month. And the reason for that is because this type of credit card, specifically they're called rewards or points earning credit cards that give you points when you put money on them or put expenses on them, they tend to have higher interest rates than almost any other type of credit card you can carry. And so if you are someone who right now is not in the position to pay off your credit card bills in full every single month, then the amount that you're going to end up paying when you carry a balance on those cards in the form of interest is going to more than negate any value you're going to get from your points. So number one thing is knowing, wait a minute, is this hobby or is this type of credit card actually a good fit for me for just where I am right now in my life and the way that I am able to manage my finances? That answer is not going to be yes for everyone, and that's okay, right? It just means that, oh, not yet. Maybe you can still learn about all this stuff, read about it as you're getting yourself in the position where that becomes a very regular financial habit for you, then that'll be a great time to dive in. So number one, just nuts and bolts, is this is not great for you if you cannot pay off your credit card bills in full every single month. It's also not great for you if, honestly, you don't like to travel, you know, because this type of currency, points and miles, I mean, it sounds like a little bit obvious, but I like being very explicit with people, is that points and miles, like, they are good for a certain thing. They are most valuable for a certain thing, and that is travel, whether that is using your points to book flights or using your points to book hotel stays. Those are the two main examples. So if you are someone who honestly doesn't really like to travel, or you think that you might travel once, you know, 10 years from now, I tell people, hey, this is not a great fit for you. Get a really great like cashback card where you're still going to benefit from using that credit card to put your expenses on and to buy things, but you're going to be rewarded in a form of currency that's actually more valuable to you personally, which is cash. And so again, I know it's overly simplistic, but I like people to understand points and miles are not the same as cash. So they do hold tremendous potential value, but again, only if you're someone who envisions yourself using them for travel. So those are kind of the two main starting blocks of saying, wait a minute, is this a hobby that would even be relevant for me? Or is this even something that I want to get into? And then if the answer is yes, then what I tell people is, great, you can start slow and you can start small. Really, I think the best starting place for so many people is just pick one points earning credit card and get used to using that for all your expenses. There is so much room to get more fancy, more complicated, more detailed. You can always do that whenever you're ready, but you don't need to start with a super complicated plan. And so all you need to do is find one points earning credit card and get used to using that. And then if you get really comfortable with that, if it's something that's fun and interesting for you, you can always add in more layers of complexity after that.
What are the points earning credit cards that you come across most frequently?
So there are actually so many of them. That's probably not a great question for me since I am on the end of the spectrum in terms of being little obsessive when it comes to, you know, learning about all these different options, using all the different options. I think by no means am I sort of the poster child for what most people do when they are in this world. And so I'm not going to answer that from like where I sit in my own brain, because I actually think that's not going to be useful for so many people. I think for so many people, again, that beginning question is, okay, if I don't want to go out and research literally 100 different credit card options, just what are the few that I tend to see being really great starter cards for a lot of people? And I have a couple of favorites in terms of personal credit cards. So again, these are credit cards that you use for your own personal expenses, not if you, you know, have a business or a side hustle. There's completely different category of business credit cards that are great for that. But for your everyday expenses, you know, your groceries, your dining out, when you do, you know, book a flight somewhere, you have to pay medical expenses, all those things, right, that we have to pay money for in order for our lives to run. There are a couple of really, really great points earning personal credit cards. These are by no means the only ones that exist, but ones that I think are great considerations for people to start with is, if you want to be within sort of the Chase Bank brand of credit cards, which offers some really great personal credit cards, my two favorite, honestly, starter cards from them would be either their Chase Sapphire Reserve card, which is their version, their top of the line premium rewards points earning travel credit card, and then a more sort of mid-level version of that for people who want to take an even more baby step into this world is the Chase Sapphire Preferred card. So Chase does not actually allow you to have both of those cards as one single individual person. So you kind of have to pick which one of those two seems like a better fit for you. I think they're both great, solid points earning credit cards. The more premier version, the Chase Sapphire Reserve, is for someone, again, who I think travels a little bit more frequently and who really wants access to a lot of perks and benefits that the other card, the Sapphire card, does not provide as much. So things like premium lounge access, more travel credits for things. So you can go online and you can read about what those two different cards offer. But if you wanted a third recommendation, one of my other personal favorite credit cards, it's one I have made my husband get his own version of it. We use it all of the time. It's an American Express card and it's the American Express Gold card. And the reason I love this card is that it is such an easy card for someone to use, especially if it's kind of their first points earning credit card. And it earns a ton of points because it gives you extra points anytime you spend money at a grocery store or at dining or restaurant establishments, which for a lot of us is a significant chunk of our spend, whether we're at grocery stores trying to feed ourselves or our own families, or, you know, we're ordering in or we're going out to eat. And so again, if you're only going to have one points earning credit card, it's great to get one that's going to give you a lot of extra points in some of these areas where a lot of us tend to have a decent amount of expenses going towards anyway.
I have a question about this. You guys don't know this, but I'm literally taking notes as she's talking. I'm obsessed, but what about like the cash back, right? So like our family, like long time ago, we shop at Costco, right? Like we go to Costco all the time. So like Costco offers their card. And to us, it was a natural choice to just use our Costco card everywhere.
Yeah, but of course.
Because we get the gas and all the things. So what are your thoughts on that compared to the suggestions you gave?
I have so many thoughts on that. I think this is such a great question. So many people are in this similar type of position. I think most people, if they have not kind of gotten into this world of credit card points and miles for travel, so many people, what I see them doing is they have like their one foundational credit card, right? Like, I actually don't think it makes a lot of sense for most people outside of the points travel world to have 4, 5, or 6 credit cards, right? There's no reason. So a lot of people will have just one or two really, really solid, like cashback credit cards that allow them to benefit, you know, from the expenses, particularly at that type of store like Costco. But then, you know, just having a solid cashback card where you put all your expenses, because again, you're getting cash back. That's fantastic, right? You're saving money. You can use that cash on anything that you can pay for with cash, which is enormous in its flexibility. And so this is one of those determinations where not everybody is going to benefit more from having a points or miles earning credit card, but a lot of people can benefit a lot more from points and miles. And what I mean by that is, I don't know how much, let's just take like a big round number because it's easier for my brain. Let's say over the course of an entire year, you spend $100,000 on credit cards, right? And right now you're putting it all on a Costco card. And so let's say that your cashback credit card gets you just a flat 2% cashback on everything, right? Whatever expenses you put on that card, at the end of the year, you've gotten 2% cashback at the very end. So if you put all your $100,000 of expenses on a 2% cashback credit card, at the end of the year, you'd have 2% of $100,000 in cashback, right? Which is like $2,000. That's a lot of money. A lot of us can think of a lot of things to do with $2,000. So I think the critical question that most people don't know how to evaluate on their own is, okay, let's say instead of using that cashback credit card, I got one or maybe more than one points earning card, and I put all my expenses on my points earning cards. How do I know at the end of that year that the number of points I will have earned can get me more travel in value than, you know, that $2,000 I would have gotten on my Costco card? To me, that's kind of the fundamental math equation. And there's no really simple way. Like, I can't tell you, oh, just plug in these two numbers and you'll get the answer. This is a question that I think everybody should walk themselves through to determine whether or not they will be better off just hanging on to a great cashback card versus a points earning card. And if you're someone who's a little bit intrigued by this conversation and you're thinking, hey, like, I want to know how to walk myself through that process of figuring out, wow, could I actually do a lot better in terms of using rewards credit cards for my expenses than a cashback card? I actually broke this down in two of my very most recent podcast episodes. And the first episode is I just walk you through how to do that math between how do you just compare what you're currently getting from a cashback credit card? How do you know if you would be better off using rewards credit cards instead? So that's an entire episode on my podcast, which is called Point Me to First Class. You can check it out. And part two of the series is for people who already do have some points earning credit cards like you, Pyle. Like, you have some credit cards that earn you points, but you may still have, for very specific stores, you may be hanging on to a cashback credit card still thinking, oh, well, at least for my Costco spend, makes more sense to use a cashback Costco credit card. And the answer may be yeah, and it may be no, you'd actually benefit from shifting all of your spend onto rewards credit card. So how do you know in that scenario, right? Like, if you should mix and match, like, have a couple of points earning credit cards, but still hang on to that Target card for your Target expenses or the Costco card for your Costco expenses. And I walk you through in part two of the cashback versus credit card series on my podcast, exactly how you answer that question for yourself as well. Because one of the things that's really important to me is that as much as I obviously love what I do, I love earning points, using them for travel, I think so many people can benefit from it, I don't believe that across the board, every single person should do this. It's the best fit for every single person on earth. I don't believe that. But so many people who could benefit from this hobby don't know how to walk themselves through those scenarios of how do I identify if this is actually good for me? Because the last thing I want is a bunch of people for whom rewards credit cards are not a great fit, going out and getting these credit cards if it's not going to benefit them, right? I want to equip people with sort of the knowledge to understand and how to decide, wait a minute, if this is a good fit for me, how can I be confident about that? And if it's not a good fit for me, how can I be confident about that? So I can still do the things that are actually a better fit for me. And so that particular cashback versus points earning credit card question, that's why I wanted to do two specific podcast episodes on that to walk everyone through so that they don't have to wonder, what am I better off doing? How do I know? How can I make a confident decision that's best for me? So for anyone who wants to dig into more details about how to actually answer that question for themselves, go check out my podcast episodes on that. I hope they'll be super helpful for you.
Yeah. So we're going to put everything, we're going to link it into the show notes. I'm literally like, my mind is being blown right here. I cannot like fathom. You know what came up for me? And this is what's going to come back to my people is we are all in high demand jobs, earning lots of money, but there's two camps. And I think most of the people are in the risk averse camp, especially brown people, especially Asian people. I'm just going to say this. And then we have that pocket who are like the entrepreneurs and like people who want to do all that. But most of us are in these like stable jobs. And I just keep thinking about my husband because he, and we talk about, we laugh about this all the time, but it's like, what is the safest thing to do? What is the simplest thing to do? So he's a physician too, but I'm literally going to send him your podcast and I'm going to make him listen to this one because I know he doesn't listen to mine, but just will trigger for us this conversation that A, it's not scary. And I love the way you explain it and you simplified it, like, because we're all super smart, but we're overthinkers. Right. And so the way you show it and the way you explain it, it's like, it's not that hard. We can use Costco card for Costco things if we want, and then use the other card for other things. Like literally my brain was like, that's simple, easy, clear. I don't need to have seven cards. I am using the Gap credit card for my kids' clothes that we buy a lot of, two boys, 8 and 10. They're growing out of things all the time. And I do have multiple cards. It's not like I don't. It's just in my brain. I was like, oh, I use that Costco one for everything. And then for my business, which we'll get into next, and I want to see your recommendations on that, I stick to one too. So a lot of the people who listen to this podcast also, you know, they have like a 1099, they own their own practices, they own, you know, they have all those businesses. What are your simple entry-level cards in that space?
Yeah. Well, first, even before we talk about simple entry-level cards, because I definitely have some, the first thing I want to tell people is, especially if you are a business owner, and like you mentioned, it doesn't have to be, you know, a full traditional medical practice that's got hundreds of thousands of dollars of expenses a year. You can be a 1099, you know, you can be working a locums job, or you can be doing, you know, consulting on one case a year, you know, for a malpractice case or whatever the case may be. You do not need to have, you know, a multi-million dollar business in order to qualify for business credit cards. So if you are doing anything outside of a W-2 employed position, you can probably qualify for a business credit card. But certainly if you are running, again, one of those more traditional type of businesses that I think we all think of in medicine, like owning your own practice, your own surgery center, something like that. If you own, you know, commercial real estate that you rent to your own practice or to other practices, you are sitting on an absolute goldmine of points. That is the first thing that I want to mention. Again, this comes back to that idea of we don't know what we don't know. And I remember my first job out of fellowship, I joined a small physician-owned private practice. And so there were four partner owners, and I was not a partner owner, but all of the physicians got together and we would, you know, periodically review just the practice's expenses. You know, is there a different vendor we can go with, you know, for a different supply that would maintain quality but be cheaper? And I remember sitting in those meetings and seeing the cost of, you know, what it costs to run a practice. And I was in pathology and we ran our own lab. So that meant, you know, all of the tissue processing laboratory equipment, all the machines, all the reagents. These things are not cheap, right? Like all the little microtomes to cut the slides, everything. And we would talk about, okay, if we need one single new microtome, you know, how many tens of thousands of dollars is that going to be? And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, like these guys have no freaking clue how many points this practice could be earning. And maybe that wasn't their priority. That's totally fine, right? Like they all get to do things the way they wanted to do it. But I remember being at least at that table, right? And seeing, oh my gosh, this is such a wasted opportunity. And so first, I just want you all to know, again, if you're someone who loves travel and you're running a business, you have a tremendous opportunity to really, really leverage those business expenses to earn tons and tons and tons of points. And so back to your original question pile of, okay, so let's say I do want to really start capturing a lot of my business expenses so that I can earn points. What are some great cards? And again, my philosophy is, let's start easy. Let's start simple. There's always room to make it fancier. There's always room to make it more complicated. And so I'm just going to tell you two of my favorite points earning business credit cards. One of them, again, is a Chase credit card. It's called the Chase Inc. Business Preferred credit card. I think it's fantastic for, again, a lot of businesses, a lot of people. If all you ever want is one points earning credit card, you can do great with that one card alone. The other credit card, which you've also mentioned, that I think is a phenomenal credit card, especially if you do run a business where you have very high expenses. If you're buying, you know, $100,000 worth of vaccines for your practice every single month, right? If you do have really, really high costs associated with, you know, buying equipment, buying supplies, if you're paying, you know, quarterly estimated tax payments that are five or six figures, this is a fantastic credit card for those types of businesses. And that is the American Express Business Platinum card. I love this card. As you mentioned, it does come with a high annual fee. For most businesses, I just want to put an asterisk here. Please go and check with your financial or tax or accounting professional, because I am not one of those. But for many businesses, the cost of the annual fee is deductible on your taxes as a legitimate business expense. But even despite the annual fee of that card, its ability to earn points, again, especially if you are running one of these higher expense businesses, is just phenomenal. And it, again, if you only ever wanted one business card, you could stick with this card and do very, very well in terms of earning points. And so those are two of my personal favorite business credit cards.
I love this conversation. Literally, this could go on forever. Before we go on to how people can work with you, I wanted to just plant the seed here a little bit about, okay, so now you get these points, right? But then what? Right? Mm-hmm. How do you know, like, how to convert these points into hotel stays or travel? Like, how do you know? Any tips on, like, I keep seeing, she has an amazing Facebook group, but I keep seeing people talking about, oh, I booked next year's spring break now. Like, Devin says this kind of stuff all the time. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I've already done that.
I'm like, what? What's that? What does that mean? You know? And so, like, in that space, just to kind of plant the seed of how would that work?
Yes, this is such a great question, because I actually think earning points is fairly simple. Once, you know, you get your feet under you, you learn a few things. Once you have one or two credit cards, the earning points is actually not that challenging. But then there comes that second piece of the equation of, okay, I have all these points. I've heard they're amazing for travel, but what does that actually look like? How do I actually get from having a bunch of points, like numbers on a screen when I log into my credit card account, and then actually booking a flight or booking a hotel stay? And I think this is the piece that for so many people, this is kind of where it falls apart, because there's no reason that anyone should just automatically know how to do that. And especially for people like us, you know, we have busy lives. Y'all are working hard at your jobs. Maybe you're in a two physician or a dual working family, you know, household. You've got a lot going on. And even if you love travel, maybe just kind of figuring something out from scratch isn't really realistic for you, right? Like, it's not really realistic to go on your own treasure hunt on the internet and try to figure out the answers to some of these questions of, how do I get easily, simply, and get a lot of bang for my buck, turn my points into travel? And so my best word of advice on this is that you've got to connect yourself with a source, with a guide, with a teacher who can help teach you how to do this, because you can absolutely wander around the internet and figure it out if it's fun for you. It was fun for me, which is how I learned how to do it. But I fully acknowledge that that's not practical for so many people. And I don't want you to lose out on your opportunity to still get tons of value and amazing travel from your points if you don't happen to be a little bit of a weirdo like me and just love reading about this stuff all the time on the internet. And so there are a lot of different places that you can go. There are free resources, there are paid resources. But my recommendation, just because it's what I love to do and I love connecting with people and helping them, is get connected with one of the free Facebook groups that I run. This topic of how do you use your points in order to turn them into travel is something that I love helping people do, especially the first time while you're learning how to do it for yourself. So come and join us in one of the Point Me to First Class Facebook groups. Like I said, they're free. Doesn't cost you anything. You can jump in, you can ask your own questions, or you can just kind of pop in and see what other people are doing and learn at your own pace. And so my number one piece of advice is, don't just try to piece together random things from the internet on your own. If that's not fun for you, come into a community where we actually try to help people do this so that you can figure this out with not taking a ton of time and a ton of, you know, frustration on your part. And then for the people who are really, really into this, who are like, no, I want to be that person, right, who's already booking my winter break trip for myself or for my family, or I want to be able to send myself, you know, for a solocation at Miraval and just pamper myself for a weekend and use my points instead of paying $3,000. And I really want to get the most direct line, the best information, make it as simple for me as possible, like give me the roadmap from point A to point B, then that is where I think joining either a paid community or a paid course can really give you so much return in terms of your financial and your time investment. And I offer a paid course that anybody is welcome to join, where I really break down for you, again, everything from point A to point B. How do you understand the basics of how this works? How do you figure out which credit cards are going to be the right fit for you? And then that really important question of how do you easily turn those points into amazing travel experiences? And so if you want to learn how to get really good at this really, really quickly, then I invite you to find a paid community or course where you can jump in and you can get a lot of hand holding so that you don't have to figure this out on your own.
It's going to be worth every penny, guys. It's amazing. I've just literally been observing, and I had to coach myself on, I don't have to do it perfect, which Devin has coached me on that topic in general a lot. And we laugh about this. There's no right way. I'm giving you guys all my secrets today. And I don't know, it doesn't have to be all or none. You know, like those are the three things that I found myself thinking when I was like, oh my God, this person did this and this and this. And I just barely have time to be Uber parent after 3 p.m. and then the morning. And then I start my coaching day at 6 a.m. And it's just a fascinating thing. And of course, you know, I want to fill it with things that create joy. Travel creates joy, but like you said, not all of us enjoy. Like I like researching traveling. Like that is really fun for me. Like I'm really good at that, like hotels and everything. But as soon as I see like, oh, I converted this to this Hyatt and this Hilton, and then I got this. And if you open, do it the opening day, like to me, it was like, oh no,
that's
no,
not joyous no. for you. I can't understand.
But if I got the deal, then I would be so excited, right? Yeah. Because that feeds into my like immigrant mentality of like, you got a good deal. You used a coupon, right? Yeah. You were smart, you got in, you know? So I think this is a really fascinating topic and we can talk about it like forever. And I'm obsessed with Devin and that's a whole different story. And so I'll probably be on her podcast and we'll share about different things. But how can people find you and what are your different places that we should follow you?
Yes. So the single best place to find me is by just going to my website, because all of the other paths diverge from there. So you can find me very easily at pointmetofirstclass.com. That's where you can learn all about just the different ways that I work with people, that I teach people. You can find information about how to find my podcast there. So that's kind of the one-stop place where you can figure out anything sort of pertinent that's going on in the Point Me to First Class world. So start there. If you want to hear more just about what happens in this whole points world, this points community, jump on my email list. I don't send emails all that often. I try to make sure there's super high value, sending you out the things that I think are going to be most useful for you, again, to make this journey and this process itself joyous, because I think so many people have the experience that you do, Pyle, where you're like, the result is joyous, right? Sitting on a first class flight is joyous. Taking the trip is joyous, but you know, learning the nuts and bolts to get there isn't so joyous. And I love the way you said that, because I've never thought about it this way before, but I want to help make the actual process before you get on the plane joyous as well. And so I know that it isn't naturally that way for everybody. So that's what you're going to get if you're in one of my spaces or my communities, is not just the joy of experiencing this amazing type of travel, but the joy of leading up to it, right? The joy of talking about it and thinking about it and making it easy to book more of those types of trips so that you can spend more of your time in an amazing luxurious lounge or going to a place of the world that you never thought was going to be possible for you, or just honestly spoiling the people in your life who you love by giving them some of the experiences that I know you and I know myself never had available to us when we were children. And so my invitation to you is just come and join us in the Point Me to First Class world. I love talking and teaching about this stuff, and I would love to talk to you and teach you about it as well.
This was so fun, guys. And I know this is a little longer than my usual, but come on, we could just have like four episodes on this, but we don't need to, because we can go to her podcast in her space. And she's just a magical person and coach and all the things. And, you know, you guys know that I don't just say things. I'm very honest about, you know, when I say something, I really mean it. So I'm so grateful to you, Devin, for coming on my podcast. And I'm going to keep exploring our barriers to giving us permission to live fully. And I think that this was such an important topic for us. And we're going to keep doing this. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it with a friend. I know you guys have friends who want to learn this. Write a review. Write back to me and tell me if there's something you want to hear about, if you have specific questions for her. We can get her to answer them, go on Instagram and, you know, all the things. All of us know how to use that social media, right? So thanks again. Looking forward to sharing my thoughts on her podcast. All right.
I cannot wait to have you.
Have a lovely day, guys.
Hey, if you're ready to advocate for yourself by listening to your inner voice so you can live in freedom, wake up every day with purpose, and enjoy your work and family, check out my website at www.pileguile.com. On the website, you'll have the opportunity to join my program, sign up for a free workshop, or just check out my blog. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please tell a friend, leave a review, or just reach out. I'd love to hear from you.